uniting God. You draw your children to you, calling us to follow you and to build your kingdom. As you inspired those who went before us to create this united church of ours, inspire us to reach beyond what we know into what might be, to a future where you wait for us. Amen. So I've said it a number of times now. This week, the United Church turns 90 years old. Not long ago, actually, I think it was November of last year, this building celebrated 182 years. Now, don't let this trick you. We, as a faith community, like every other United Church in Fredericton, like every other United Church across the country, is only 90 years old. 90 years old on Wednesday. In 1925, Methodists, Congregationalists, and many of the Presbyterians from across Canada shared a vision of a church united, a people united, following Christ's hope that all may be one in Him. Now we look back on those days with rose-colored glasses, saying that it was a time of unity, confederation, and all that good stuff. Everyone coming together. That's what the days were all about. But the work of union was no picnic. There were fights. There were arguments. There were debates. The Act of Union in 1925 was the result of years and years of hard work. And even when that day came, the Presbyterian Church, the church from which we got this building, was split on its decision, and so many families were divided. But because of that hard work, because of the tough decisions, 90 years ago on June 10th, thousands gathered. They celebrated, they prayed, they praised the one who had drawn them together in the first place. And thus our journey as the largest Protestant denomination in Canada began. Then came the glory years. Oh, the good old days when the churches were full, the Sunday schools were overflowing. It was strange for a person or a family not to go to church. Then something happened. We don't really know what or when exactly. People started to stop coming. They found other things to do on Sunday morning. And that's an important distinction. It wasn't that something took people from the church. It's that people started seeking community elsewhere. That means that they couldn't find it here. And without really understanding the loss, we grieved. And we continue to grieve to this day. We see a striking parallel in today's reading from the Gospel of Luke. In it, we have two disciples, one named Cleopas, and the other's name we never learn. They're having kind of a bad time. They just left Jerusalem, where their brother, their leader, their Savior had died. Now, before all this nastiness in Jerusalem, things were great. These Jewish men had found a renewed faith in this rabbi they called Jesus. More than renewed faith as individuals, they were building momentum as a group. Thousands would follow him just to hear him speak, to feel his touch, to be in his presence. Things were going great, and the future looked bright. Then Jerusalem. And now we've got two disciples on the road to Emmaus grieving that loss. Isn't that kind of where we are? On the road grieving the loss of what was? Wondering just how united our church is or will be in the years to come? But while on the road to Emmaus, these two disciples experienced something amazing. While mourning their loss, someone begins walking with them. Someone who is completely oblivious, it seems, to the events that have just taken place. They tell of this mighty leader, Jesus, and of his tragic fall.
They speak of something called resurrection, but they don't seem too sure about it. What they don't know until later that night, what they don't see right before their eyes, is that Christ is still with them, walking with them in their grief, just as he did in their joy. As we stand on the brink of 90 years, as we march together on the road to Emmaus, we look back on the glory days before Jerusalem and we grieve. We look forward to a future that's anything but certain and we grieve. And in all this grieving what was and what might not be, we ignore the Christ jumping up and down before us saying, "I'm not done with you yet. I'm not done with you yet," Christ says. "I'm not done with you yet," God says. As a denomination, as the United Church of Canada, we've accomplished a lot of great things in our short history. At 90 years old, we're really just angsty teenagers right now. Right? In the grand scheme of things, we're just teenagers that are full of emotions and hormones trying to figure out where we're going in this world. We ordained women while many churches were still arguing who could or couldn't minister. We've welcomed the LGBTQ community into our pews as well as our pulpits, recognizing that we are all as God has made us. We fought for equal marriage rights in Canada, acknowledging that love is love, that God draws people together regardless of sexuality and gender to create the beauty of their companionship. We have striven and prayed for peace in a world fraught with war, while others said that's just the way the world is. And in the midst of all this, we have continued to fight for those on the margins, those whose society has forgotten or chosen to ignore. But we're not without our mistakes, too. Early on in our church's history, we took part in what has come to be called the cultural genocide of our First Nations brothers and sisters in the form of residential schools. Like many other churches, the United Church of Canada stole children from their parents with the intent to, quote, take the Indian out of the child. The wounds that we helped inflict on a whole people of God are still being felt today, and so we acknowledge our part as we have been active participants in the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, seeking healing for all involved. And so, even as we celebrate our accomplishments, we acknowledge our brokenness. Even as we look back on the glory days that were and the dark days that we wish that we could forget. And it's in this brokenness, it's in these dark times on the road to nowhere, that God finds us. God picks us up and calls us out again. Because it isn't a road to nowhere. It isn't a road to no hope. Like our foremothers and forefathers, we are setting a course into the unknown, boldly following the Holy Spirit into what might be, not having any idea of what it might look like. When the founding churches of our denominations looked into the past, they didn't do so with tears and mourning for what they'd lose. When they looked into the past, they saw what they accomplished. And when they turned to face the future, they were excited to see what they could do united together in Christ. Let us view our future with the same optimism, with the same surety that no matter what, no matter how low we might feel, no matter how lost we might feel, Christ is with us wherever we go. To those bright and happy and joy-filled places, to those dark, tear-filled and fearful places, Christ is with us wherever we go. So what's the next 90 years going to look like? With all that we've accomplished in our short history, with so much change and challenge, what's the next 9 years going to look like? In the reading that Dow offered earlier, he talked about, from the revelation of John the Divine, that God is saying, "Behold, I make all things new." That's where God is, in the future, creating all things new again. That is where we're being called to go, into the future where God is waiting for us, doing a new thing already, just waiting for us to show up and lend a hand. And that's the only way that we're going to answer that question: what happens in the next 90? What happens in the next 9 years? We have to discover it together, walking hand in hand on this road to somewhere, walking with Christ beside us as we go, excited to see where God is doing a new thing. Now, the last three hymns today, now I say three hymns, but it's really not all three. The last hymns that you'll see in the selection are actually chosen from our first celebration of union in 1925.